Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thanks, church. Excellent. Well, this morning's an exciting morning for us. If you received an email from us from the church this week, we let you know that we're going to introduce one of our first songs to you this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and sort of what God is doing in us as a worship team and we believe us as a church. This is not a song for the LMC worship team. This is a song for our church. This is a song for the body of Christ. And what we are doing is just allowing God to use us to be able to speak his word and speak his light and his life into us. So we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But I want to welcome Steph up. Steph is one of our musos. She plays the keyboard and does a lot of great things. But she also... But Steph's going to share a little bit about sort of the origins of this song and preach a little bit. So let's lean in and hear what God's had to say this morning.
Good morning, church. So like Andy said, my name is Steph and I was standing over there just a little bit before. But I am so excited about this morning. Anyone who I've spoken to about this morning will say that, like, that's the first sentence out of my mouth. I'm so excited. Like, I can't wait for you to hear what it is that this song that we have put together. And when we were writing, when we were creating, it was always our intention that we wanted to put the word of God into these songs and into these lyrics, because we know that when we speak the word of God over ourselves, there's power in that. And so when we're singing songs of worship, we're singing them over ourselves, whether we know that or not. And so we wanted to make sure that these songs were rooted and grounded in the word of God. And so I'm just going to be sharing a little bit about the passage that kind of inspired this song that we're going to be doing today. So if you have a Bible or a phone or a whatever, if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. And so I'm just going to try and keep it short and sweet so that we can get straight to the song. But just sharing a little bit about this passage. So we'll start at verse 1. So the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. So I'm going to be doing a bit of stop-starting as I work through it. That's just how my mind works. I'm sorry if yours doesn't work the way mine does. But in this chapter, so Ezekiel, in this vision from God, he's found himself in a valley and he's completely surrounded by dry bones. And so we all have dry bones in our lives. We can look around at the different areas of our lives, at our family, at our work, our finances, our relationships, our health, our hopes, our dreams. Even as Jules was saying in communion, we can just look at our lives and we can see nothing but sin sometimes. And we just see defeat. But we can feel tired, depleted, forgotten, sick of waiting on the promises of God. And we can just think, God, when are you going to come through for me? When am I going to be healed from this sickness? When am I going to get out of debt? When is that relationship going to be restored? When am I going to have that breakthrough that you've promised me, God? And we don't see how our lives can get any better. But in verse 3, it goes on, and God asks Ezekiel this really crazy question. So then he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I replied, "Lord God, only you know." See, Ezekiel, he's been a little bit of a smarty pants with his answer. Because if he says, so God says, "Can these bones live?" And he knows that God has the power. He's an almighty God. He can do all things. He knows that God has the power to make these bones live. But if he says, "Yes, God, they can live," then he's ignoring the plain fact that they're dead bones. There's nothing can come from them. They're well and truly dead. But if he were to say to God, "No, these bones are dead." Oh, sorry, if he were to say to God, "No, these bones are dead," then he would be denying God, denying the power of God, and denying the fact that God can do all things. So Ezekiel, he found a third option. So he said, "Lord God, only you know." So it's kind of like, "I don't know, you tell me," sort of situation he had going with God. And you know, sometimes we look at our world and we look at our lives and we think this is beyond hope. It is beyond possibility. And we know that in theory, God can fix it. but we just don't want to admit it because it doesn't fit with what we see. We say, in theory, God, you're my healer, but I'm still sick. In theory, God, you're my provider, but I don't have a job and I've only got a few dollars left in the bank. In theory, God, you can fix this relationship, but I don't, like, we're not even speaking to each other. It doesn't fit with what we see. But then we go on into verse 4. He said to me, prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So Ezekiel's looked out, he's seen all the dry bones and it just doesn't make any sense. It's impossible for it to come back to life. But God instructs Ezekiel to take what he can see, to take the impossibilities he can see and to bring them into alignment with the word of God. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That which is dead must recognize the authority of the living God because our God has conquered death. Death has come into submission with our God. He commands him to speak life where he can only see death. He commands him to speak the word of God into a hopeless situation. And so Ezekiel spoke. And as he spoke, as he was prophesying, it says, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. The impossible happens when we speak the word of God. That just doesn't happen. You don't just see bones and they don't suddenly become people again, at least not outside of a movie. The impossible happens with our God. But there was still no breath in them. So in verse 9, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And this is my favorite bit in the whole chapter. So the word breath or breathe throughout this chapter is used 7 times. And I've put it in bold for you conveniently. But I find that when I read the Bible, that when something is repeated a lot, I'm like, okay, I feel like I should probably pay attention to this because it's used several times. So the word breath here is associated with life. And we know that. We are not alive unless we're breathing. When Ezekiel prophesies all the muscles and the joints and the vessels, the tendons, ligaments, organs and skin came to be on these people. So that's already an impossibility. Before we didn't have body systems, we didn't even have lungs to cause us to breathe. And now we have all of that. So there exists the capacity for life, but there still was no life. It wasn't until God breathed on them that they rose up. The life was in the breath and the anointing of God. It wasn't in the words that Ezekiel was speaking. God didn't command Ezekiel to breathe on the dry bones. He didn't say, Ezekiel, just go and breathe over them and they will all rise up. He commanded him to prophesy breath instead, because it's not through our efforts, it's through God's. Even way back in the very beginning, life has been associated with the breath of God. So if we go back to Genesis 2:7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So up until that point, there was form and capacity for life, but it wasn't until God intervened, it wasn't until God breathed on him that we came alive. And when the bones came to life, they didn't just stay asleep because, you know, even though you might look dead when you're asleep, you're actually still alive. They didn't come alive and stay asleep. They didn't sit up. They didn't just wander around aimlessly. They stood up a vast army. They were an army. They were equipped and they were effective. They had a purpose. And God doesn't just pull us out of trouble. He raises us to stand equipped to enter into all that he has for us. He doesn't just say, you're in a tough situation, here you go. Now you can go and sort it out yourself. He raises us up and he stands with us and he helps us to enter into the things that he has for us. And so we go on into verse 11. So God is explaining to Ezekiel now what this vision has meant. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off.' Our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we are cut off." And how often do we find ourselves believing that statement over our lives? We feel dried up, we feel hopeless, and we can feel cut off from the things of God. And the enemy has whispered this lie in our ear that somewhere along the way, we listened and we believed it. We look at the dry bones in our lives and we can't see how it can be anything different. But God says to Ezekiel, "Tell the people of Israel that when they feel broken, this is what I want you to say to them. This is what I say of their situation." And we go on into verse 12. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Lord God says. I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them.'" So for the people of Israel at this time, they're in captivity. And so God is saying that I'm going to bring you out of captivity and back into Israel. But you might feel, looking at your life, you might feel like you have died inside. And you might feel like your dreams have died and like the promises of God no longer apply to your life. But God has promised his people life and not death. And he hasn't promised us a mediocre life. God has promised us a full and abundant life. Our God has defeated the grave. Jesus entered into and then walked out of the grave on our behalf. He has already busted open our graves and pulled us out by his blood on Calvary. And so we might feel like we're living in a grave in our lives, but that's not our place. God has brought us out and he stood us up. He has and he continues to breathe on us, reviving us and raising us up to stand as that vast army. And in the same way that God didn't forget the people, in the same way that he said, "I'm going to bring you out of your captivity and back to Israel," he has not forgotten you or the dreams in your heart. He cherishes you and he cherishes your dreams and he carries them next to his own heart. And then we finish up in verse 14. It says, "I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is repeated three times in the passage. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because when God breathes life into something, when God blesses us, it isn't for our gain. So even though we might have blessings in our lives that benefit us, they actually serve as evidence of the presence of God in our lives. And, you know, we can look around at everything and look at someone and say, "Oh my goodness, they're so lucky, they have everything." But it's the presence of God in our lives that is what shines through. Because when blessing comes out of a curse and when prosperity comes out of poverty, when victory comes from defeat, or when hope comes out of hopelessness in our lives, we have no choice but to acknowledge the hand of God. Because that's not something that we can do with our own efforts. That's something we can only do with the strength of God through us. "I will put my spirit in you and you will live." It's not until God's spirit, it's not until God's breath is inside us that we fully come alive. "I will breathe on you and you will live." And see, God didn't show Ezekiel what was literally a valley of death for no reason. He took him there to reveal himself and to reveal his heart, to restore his people from brokenness and to reveal his power, to shape him and to bring life. And in our own lives, we can look around at our dry bones and yes, we hate it and it hurts. But God is still there working on our hearts, even in that place and even in that valley. It is there that we acknowledge our brokenness and our needs that nothing and no one else on earth could possibly meet. And it is there that he reveals himself to us. It is there that we recognize the authority that we have in speaking the truth over our lives and over our circumstances. It is there that he breathes his life into us. He refines us, he shapes us, he molds us, equips us, and empowers us to stand up on our feet. It is there that we realize the God-given potential that we all have. So yes, we have dry bones in our lives, but God doesn't want to leave us there. He doesn't want to leave us surrounded by dry bones. He wants our lives to be a testimony that we would know that He is God by what He has done in us and in our lives, because by the power of the Spirit of God in us, we have come alive in Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank You so much that You love us enough to meet us where we're at, Lord God, and that You pick us up and that You carry us and that You breathe Your life into us, Lord God, and that we can feel broken, Lord God, and that we can feel like we're in a hopeless situation but for You, Lord God. And so I pray here in this place this morning, Lord God, that as we're looking at our lives and if we feel broken, if we're feeling hopeless, Lord God, that You would just come and You would intervene, that You would fill our hearts with Your love, that You would breathe fresh on us this morning, Lord God. We just thank You for Your power and that You, we just thank You that You love us enough, Lord God, to bring us close to Yourself. In Your precious name, amen.
Amen. Let's thank Steph. Thank you, Steph. That was great. That's great. So turn to the person next to you, say dry bones. Say it with conviction, say dry bones. Say come alive. Dry bones, come alive. Remember that, remember that. So we basically, as a few of us in the worship team, went away for a 24 hours up to a little place in Yarra Junction that wasn't real neat, but it served the purpose for us. And we just wanted to, for me, it'd been a challenge for me over many, many years of people saying, you know, when are we going to write songs? When are we going to get songs coming from our church? And I was really challenged by that, but I was also very scared by that, about what that entailed and then putting something out for ourselves. So I remember sitting in my office and I had a little white card, and it had a number of names on it of people that I wanted to invite along to this songwriting weekend. And it sat there for, I reckon, about 12 months before I actually did anything about it. It sat right there on my desk. I'd almost see it every single day. And finally, I got the courage up to actually write an email. And I was like, as soon as I send this email, I'm accountable and we've got to do something. So I sent the email out to a few members of our team. And the first one that got back to me was Steph. And she basically said, I can't wipe the smile off my face as I'm writing this email back to you, because it was so exciting for her to hear what we were going to be doing as a church. And I want you to know that this is not about a number of people writing a song, or it's not about a worship team presenting a song. This is about our church. This is about what God has done in us through the ministry of this church and through His ministry. And so we are just being obedient to what God is saying and putting it out to everyone else. And so just let's, you know, I said lean in before. Really, that's what it's about, leaning into what God is saying to us as a church through this song, because we know that if we can grab a hold of the truth of it, that God is going to work in us and that others are going to see Him glorified in us as well. So let me invite the team up. And as they're coming up, I just want to talk about this song specifically for a little bit. We're going to chat about that. So we came together on the Friday night when we went away. There was about 7 or 8 of us. And we came on the Friday night and we'd been originally working for about a month and a half by ourselves at home. I said, go home, listen to what God is saying to you, and write it down, write it down, write it down. If you've got chords to play, put it down and bring it. And so we came on the Friday night, and we brought it all together, and we threw it all out. And I was like, okay, so what do we got? And we had a big whiteboard, and we just threw it all down on the whiteboard. And this song, there was about 4 different solid ideas I think we had over the weekend, and this is one of them. And we sort of discussed, I think Cass originally started talking about dead bones coming to life. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you obviously had spoken a message like this, and so we expanded on that.
Yes, at Young Adults last year. So I remember I prepared a message on Ezekiel 37 for Young Adults last year. And as I was preparing it, that wasn't what I was originally going to talk about, like 4 days before I was supposed to give the message. I think it was originally about something in Romans or whatever. But I felt God say, no, you need to talk about the dry bones. And I actually had no idea why. Like, it didn't really make any sense to me why I was having to change this message. It was a bit inconvenient. I didn't really want to, but I just couldn't shake the feeling. So I changed it. And even afterwards, I was like, oh, I don't really think that went all that well. But anyway, and so it wasn't until we started doing this and we started unpacking it that I'm like, oh, okay, God's really actually wanting to do something in our church. And so just like how me putting the time into that message 12 months ago actually really influenced the way that we wrote this song.
Isn't it cool? It's like a big dot to dot that sometimes gets put together, and we don't see the whole picture, but the important thing is we are obedient in putting the next dot or drawing the next line as we're going on. And our desire, so it was, we titled the song Dead Bones, that was sort of our working title, but that's not a really cool name for a song, is it, Dead Bones? So we moved on from that. But our desire throughout the song, it was to highlight God's goodness and His power in the way that He can take a dead, dry area of our lives and breathe fresh life into it. Restoration in us to glorify Him. And today, as Steph has already shared, there might be an area of your life where it seems there's only death. Perhaps you think you're too old to do anything for God. Perhaps you believe that bad decisions have caused dark holes to come into your life. Maybe there's a sin area in your life that's like a darkness or death that is slowly invading the light in the rest of your life. Maybe it's something that only you know about and nobody else knows about. And our prayer is through the confession of this song that we would allow God's breath to breathe life and to breathe truth into these areas of our lives. In Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 5, it says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And like I said before when we talked about the heart song, it comes down to a choice for us. And our encouragement right now as we sing this song for you guys and as you sing it with us is that, that we would make a choice to open up those dark areas of our lives, those potential death areas, those areas where there's pain in our lives, and allow God's breath to breathe life and to breathe truth on those areas of our lives. Yeah. So this is the song. It is now called "You Are Reviving Me."
It's so much better than "Dead Bones."
You Are Reviving Me. And the first lyrics, it came in, if you can take us through, that would be great. It says, "My soul was overwhelmed, my situation void of hope." It goes on, "In a world that offered much, nothing of worth could be found." This was the first part of the song that we actually wrote. And it was about acknowledging that we come to a point of realization that we cannot find what we're looking for in the world, whether it be material possessions or relationships or status or success. If it doesn't have God's breath on it, what is it actually worth?
Yeah. And I thought it was quite funny because that was the first thing that we wrote in the song, but we were kind of like, whoa, is that too intense like to start a song with? Should we put that later in the song? And we're like, you know what? No, that's what life is. That's how life feels. It's honest. And so we go on into the pre-chorus, if we can keep flicking through. "But you find me where I am and you give me strength to stand again." And I love that God finds us and we get so busy trying to find things in life to satisfy. So we look to so many different places. But the thing is, we don't have to look because we've already been found by God and He meets us where we're at, no matter how horrible and dark and twisted it can seem. And He helps us to stand up again when it feels like no matter how many times we stand up, we keep getting knocked down. God is helping us to stand again. He's giving us that strength back.
Yeah, it's good. So once we've stood, it comes to our praise point of the song in the chorus. And it says this, "It's your breath that gives life. It brings freedom and hope, lifts me out of the dark. And I know that you are God." But we're going to get to that part. Yep. So you are, sometimes it feels like we have that dark area of our lives, but we have a hole when we sing that part, "Lifts me out of the dark." And when we wrote that part, I really envisioned us or individual people just seeing, having a picture of God lifting us up out of the dark as He's breathing His breath and lifting us up out of that dark place in our life.
Yep. And so then we go on into the second half of the chorus. "And I know you are God, by the power of your spirit, you are reviving me." And so this we took, like we had the Bible open with us at all times when we were writing this, and so these lyrics we just took straight out of the passage from Ezekiel. "So then you will know that I am God, because it's by the grace and the power of God that we come alive. And simply knowing that He is God, holding on to He is God, is enough for us to hold on to hope." Yeah. And so for me, that line, "You are reviving me," that's a line that had kind of been stuck at the back of my mind for about 12 months. I sort of just, I don't know, create, and that's how I sort of process things that are going on in my life. And so just that one line had been at the back of my mind. And then we started talking about this concept on the Friday night. And so I was like, yeah, I've got this one line here. But I didn't really start playing with it until recently, because for me the last 2 or 3 years have been quite a struggle. And I got to a point late last year where it was just very, very dark, and felt a lot of oppression, a lot of anxiety, would wake up in the middle of the night having panic attacks. I was in a very not good headspace. And earlier this year, Pastor Graham preached an awesome message on the wedge of discouragement and shaking the dust off. And I was listening to that and I felt God say, "Steph, go get yourself sorted." And I'm like, "Oh, really?" And he's like, "No, go get yourself sorted." And so I went and someone prayed for me, and instantly, like, I was just a mess, but instantly I felt the weight of all of that break off of my life. And at that point, I was having more bad days than good, and that was 4 months ago, and I haven't had a bad day since. It was all praise completely God. Gone praise in God. Jesus' name. And so then after that, because like Andy had said, we'd spent a little bit of time beforehand thinking about what God wanted to say and just writing some lyrics and stuff. And I was looking at the lyrics that I had been writing, and I was looking at them like, no, that's not right, because these were written from my place of pain and I don't want to be in that place anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look at the Psalms. It's horrible half the time. But moving on, I was like, no, I need to sing something victorious. I need to declare something good over my life to testify what God has done. And so that's when I started kind of playing with, like, it was literally just that one line. None of the rest of that was me, just that one line. And so you are reviving me. And for me, it's just that's how I feel about what God has done in my life. And so when we were doing this song, we really just wanted it to be a song that people can sing as a testimony of the goodness of God and what he's done in their
lives.
It's
a declaration song. It's a declaration song. In verse 2, we say, "You breathe life into these dreams that I thought had passed me by. You have taken these dry bones and have brought them back to life." And my thoughts behind this verse were very simple. There are dreams that God has put in some of your hearts that you feel have just passed you by. Maybe you have made decisions that have caused you to take a detour from what God has got for you. But his dreams are there for you. He's given them to you for a reason. And though they may have hung on a hook for many, many years, why not now for God to be taking those off and seeing those dreams come to pass in your own life? The next part.
Yep. So, "And you find me where I stand and offer me your mighty hand." And we were very deliberate in the way that we wrote this. Before we said, "You find me where I am," but now, "You find me where I stand." So before, God found us where we were at, but now we're standing up. Because when God finds us, he doesn't just leave us where he found us. He keeps calling us further into the things of him, and he pulls us up into the things of him. And then we go on into the bridge of the song, and it's just, I come alive in you. And that's the whole bridge, and we just sing it over and over, because that's just, if you don't remember any of the rest of this song, that's just a little takeaway line that you can sing over yourself when you're just feeling broken. I come alive in you. We are alive in God. We are alive in Christ because of what he's done for us on the cross. And that was just really the life that we wanted to put into this song and that we wanted to sing over our church, that God would be alive in each and every one of us and as a church.
Let's stand as we do this song this morning. Father God, we thank you for the way you've worked in us, and we thank you for what you're going to continue to do. But Lord, my prayer this morning is for every single person that's standing here today. Lord God, that if there is a dead area of their lives, if there is an area that is in darkness right now, that your light would just break through. Father God, that you would breathe fresh life into that area right now. As we declare this song, that you are reviving us, Lord God, in those areas of our lives. Have your way in us, Lord God, we pray. Have your way.